And it certainly is our privilege to hear him again this morning on the screen. Some of you may not be familiar with this, but in the top right corner, all this week we've had our death counter going. That's the international death rate. So in just a few days that we have met, 178,000 people have gone into darkness, the vast majority of them without the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded of that this morning as I briefly was watching the news while I was getting ready. The reporter and her cameraman that was gunned down just a couple of weeks ago in Virginia, they're right really just down the street from where you are from, Dr. Baldwin. The lady that was being interviewed today is getting ready to get is getting ready to get out of the hospital. We just never know. We never know. I wonder honestly how many of those people didn't think they were going to die that day when they died. And so the reason we have missions conferences is because eternity is real. Life is not forever on this earth, but it is forever with Christ, and people deserve to hear that hope. Dr. Baldwin, thanks so much for being with us this week. Can we just thank him for this week and what he's been to our church?
Thank you very much, Pastor Haynes. Jeanette and I both have really enjoyed you and your family and your wonderful church. Thank you so much for the hospitality, the fellowship, the wonderful meals, and it's just been a great time. And you folks have been wonderful. Thank you for all your kind words. And you know, you preach around as much as I have over the years. You know when you're among good people in a good local church, and I certainly thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Cammie, for the wonderful meal last night. I was reminded a little bit about being home. My wife and I play dominoes, 91 pieces of dominoes, and she beats me all the time. I travel 3,000 miles and get beat by the pastor's wife, too. So so at least they knew what I needed to be able to be here. So anyway, but thank you for that. But the meal made up for it. So we certainly thank you all. And I hope you'll have a great close of your conference tonight. I appreciate your pastor. He is like another son, the same age as my older son, and I certainly love him, and I don't just say that with words. It really touched my heart, made a lot to me, and I thank God for how he's using you in such a special way. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29, for our message, and once you find your place there, if you stand, I'd like to read a very familiar verse. And we'll look at a couple of other passages this morning as we ask the Lord to be able to speak to our hearts today. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I'll read that again. "Where there is no vision, the people," that's us, "perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Our Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful conference we've had and the wonderful servants that you brought our way, the slide presentation we just witnessed. And all week long, our hearts have been touched and moved and stirred by the testimonies of your servants. Thank you for a local church where people sacrifice of their time and their talents and their treasure to help make this missions conference what it's been, that we might be challenged to give of ourselves to help reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray you'll bless today. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to be a part of this meeting. I pray, dear God, you would just bless now the time of preaching. I pray you'll take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching now of God's word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, first of all, is a very familiar. It's a well often quoted, often preached on verse. As a matter of fact, I've seen it as the theme of mission conferences, evangelistic crusades. I've seen it printed in bulletins and mission flyers that are given out. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Oftentimes, it's used as a theme to challenge people to get involved in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been saved 39 years. I was called to preach 37 years ago. And I've always considered or tried my very best to be a Bible preacher. I believe that people who come to church ought to hear the Bible. They ought to hear the precious Word of God. It was the Word of God that changed my life and good Bible preaching. So as a pastor for 30 years, whenever I would go to preach and teach Sunday school or morning service or evening service, I try my very best to open God's Word and preach the Bible, because I want people to understand what God says, because it's the Bible that calls people to the mission field. It is the Bible in which people hear to get saved. It is the Bible that changes lives of people. So I've always tried to preach the Word of God. So as a pastor, when I would go before my congregation, as I did a number of years ago, and I look out upon among the crowd like this crowd, and I open up my King James Bible, and I begin to preach the Word of God. And this particular Sunday morning, I was preaching the Word of God to the congregation that I love so much. And I look out among this congregation, and I'm preaching the Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And when you preach the Bible, you expect people to respond not to the preacher, but to the Bible. And I was preaching that particular day from the Word of God, and I looked out and I saw some people that I knew, things were going on in their life, and I preached the Word of God, and it seems like nothing I said that particular day made a difference in those people's lives. And I was a little bit concerned. I got in my car on a Monday morning. I headed to the other side of Richmond, Virginia, for a board meeting at a Bible college. And I was talking to the Lord as I was traveling that particular morning, and I brought up some names and some situations, and I asked the Lord in my heart, why is it that people just didn't seem to respond to what I was preaching? It didn't really matter that particular day. And the Lord laid this particular verse on my heart, and I spent some time pondering on this verse and went back and prepared a message entitled, "Where There Is No Vision, The People," even those in good Bible-believing, fundamental Independent Baptist Church. I mean, we as Independent Baptists, we differ on a lot of things. We differ on our music. We differ on standards. We differ on a lot of things. But one thing we're pretty consistent about, we kind of believe the Bible to be the Word of God. So I go in an Independent Baptist church. I don't want to hear politics. I don't want to hear philosophy. I want to hear the Word of God, the precious Word of God. And so I went back and I began to look at this verse and study this verse. And the verse literally has the meaning, if there's no revelation or a proper view of the Word of God, people are without restraint. People are only truly happy when they earnestly, willingly subordinate themselves to the Word of God, which they have the opportunity of reading, hearing, memorizes. The Bible changes lives. We understand this verse to say, without a proper revelation or a proper view, people become ungovernable, unruly, disorderly. On the contrary, people who understand and obey the Word of God are happy people. In other words, I believe without a doubt, when it comes to missions, when it comes to change of lives, when it comes to seeing a difference, I need to have a proper view, a proper revelation, a proper understanding of what the Bible means to me. Without that, without a proper revelation, a proper view of the Word of God, it's not enough for me to hear the Bible. It's not enough for me to read the Bible. I've got to understand, what does the Bible mean to me? Without a proper view, without a proper vision, without a proper revelation of the Word of God I hear preached or read or memorize, I can become slothful, sinful, selfish, stubborn, uncaring, worldly, and even stingy when it comes to the things of God. I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments on the subject, a vision every church member ought to have when it comes to missions. And I want you to listen for just a few moments. Now, when I talk about a vision, I'm not talking about having a dream, seeing some 900-foot Jesus in the clouds. I'm talking about a proper view or a proper revelation of the Bible. Now, I know that in the Old Testament time and even in the New Testament time, when the Lord spoke to his prophets before the Word of God was completed, he often spoke to them in visions and dreams. But when you study visions in the Bible, you'll find that when a prophet understood or had a proper view or proper revelation of that dream, it changed his life. And I want you to think about that for a few moments about missions. We're in good Bible-preaching churches. We hear about missions all the time. We look at presentations all the time. We hear the preaching of missions and soul winning and all of these things. Yet I travel all over the country today where I believe that people are hearing the Bible all the time and not have a proper vision of what they heard and what it meant to them to change their life. So we're going to look at a couple or so of visions from the Word of God. And I want you to give this thought, have this thought in mind. Without a proper view or a proper revelation or a vision of the Word of God, I can become ungovernable, without restraint, uncaring when it comes to something as dear to the heart of God as world evangelization. I want you to follow along for just a few moments. I want you to look, first of all, forward into the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at an Old Testament prophet that had a vision, and when he got a proper view of that vision, it changed his life. I believe we need to have that vision today when it comes to missions, when it comes to world evangelization, a proper view, a proper vision of the Word of God that will change my life. God, help me to be different. Help me once and for all to hear the Bible, and help me to not look around at somebody else. Help me to have a vision of the Word of God and what you are trying to say to me. Speak to my heart. Give me a proper view of what an almighty God wants to show me from his word. Here's a vision. Look at Isaiah chapter number 6. Very familiar chapter for a moment. Beginning in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse number 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Now here's a verse that's often quoted, claimed as life verses of missionaries and preachers all over this world. Verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I want you to think for a moment of this man. This is the prophet Isaiah. He was one of the four major prophets. Not major in the sense of importance, but major in the sense of the amount of scripture he wrote. Here's the prophet Isaiah. Verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Before Isaiah, in verse number 8, could say, here am I, send me, we fail to understand that he had a vision in verses 1 through 7. He saw something in that vision. He took his eyes off King Uzziah and put his eyes on the Lord. And here was this man, all of a sudden, that I think is missing in our Christianity today. All of a sudden, he put his eyes on God and he saw something about God. He saw him. He became very conscious of God's position. Let's remember who's doing the calling. Let's remember who's looking for missionaries. Let's remember who's sending people out. It's God Almighty. And all of a sudden, when he took his eyes off King Uzziah and he looked up and he saw Almighty God, all he could say is, wow! Look at who's calling. Look at him! He's high and lifted up. Even the seraphims humble by his presence. You know what he saw? He saw God where he's always been and always will be, high and lifted up and as holy as he's ever been. And he became conscious enough where all he could say was, wow, look at God. I'll tell you the first vision every Christian ought to have when it comes to missions. It's a vision of self and its relationship with Almighty God. Well, let me remind you of something. God's looking, but he's not hard up. He's looking for somebody that remembered before the foundation of the world. He was God. When he came down and Mary and Joseph walked and he was born in that manger, he was still God. At the age of 12, when he walked into that temple and he defied the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he was God Almighty. At the age of 30, he walked all the way to the Jordan River not to be baptized by John the Presbyterian, or John the Catholic, or John the non-denominationalist. He went to be baptized by John the Baptist. Why? He was God Almighty. When he looked out and saw those disciples were nothing but fishermen, he called them where they left their careers and followed him for 3.5 years to start a local New Testament church because he was God Almighty. And let me tell you something. When they took him and they beat him and they nailed him to a cross, put a thief on the left side and the right side, tried to make him look guilty, but he wasn't guilty because he was God Almighty. And after he gave up the ghost, they took him and put him in a tomb, found the largest stone they could find, and soldiers to guard it. But on the third day, the stone rolled away and he got up because he was God Almighty. He walked for 40 days and he told them, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and you could get the job done. Why? I'm God Almighty. Then he ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And one day he's coming back for his church because he is God Almighty. Pray tell me, why would that kind of God want somebody to go out and reach in the world that can't see him still high and lifted up? He's not my good buddy and the man upstairs. He's God Almighty. And until we realize that we're serving God Almighty and can look up and say, wow, look at God. And when Isaiah, the great prophet, said, wow, look at God, the very next thing that happened to him was, whoa, look at me. We say, I'm not ready to serve this God. I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to be called. That's why you see in verses 5 and 6, they takes the coals and put them on his lips to cleanse him of his sin, he was saying, wow, look at God. Wow, look at me. And only after he was cleansed of his sin could he say, well, here am I. I believe with all of my heart today, God wants to call. He wants men to surrender to the ministry. But we're not wow about God enough to say whoa about me and still trying to say, well, here am I. God wants us, when it comes to missions, to take a look at where we stand with Almighty God. God, give us a vision today to see God where he's always been and always will be, high and lifted up, and a holy God that's looking for someone to go reach an unholy world. God, give me a vision of self, a proper vision, a proper view, a proper revelation of where I stand with God. Am I fit to be called, to be sent, to be used? I can only do that when I say, wow, look at God. Wow, look at me. Cleanse me. And I might be used in your work to reach a lost and dying world. God, give me a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want you to go to the New Testament and look at a couple of visions very quickly of the greatest missionary outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that ever walked on earth. Acts chapter 9. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to mission. God, help me to see you high and lifted up. Help me to see that I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God, cleanse my life. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self that you may fill me with your spirit. I want to go someplace and do something for God, but I need the coals of forgiveness upon my life that I can say, here am I, Lord. Send me. A second vision I think we need to have when it comes to missions is one that Paul had in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now keep in mind, a vision that we're talking about is a proper view or proper revelation of the Word of God. When the prophet had a vision, he had a proper view of what that vision meant. In Isaiah's case, he saw himself compared to Almighty God, and he saw a need to have something done in his life that he might be prepared to be used of God. Here we find the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul had a vision here on the Damascus Trail. First of all, in verse number 5, in that vision, he had a proper view and saw some things. First of all, he got saved God's way. In verse number 6, he surrendered to God's word. Lord, what would thou have me to do? In verse number 11, we find him seeking God's will. And the rest of his life after that, we find him serving in God's work. He was an immediate witness, had an instant testimony, and an impact upon others. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe when it comes to missions, God's people need a vision of their service to the local New Testament church. The local New Testament church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is not one of many programs. It is the only program of God. The mission of the church is the only place where Jesus Christ is preeminent. In this world, you can have people based upon who you know, where you were born, how much money you have. But in the local church, you can take the homeless and the teacher and the doctor and the lawyer and the average person, and nobody's looking around at each other because they're all looking up at him. God, give me a vision of the local church and help me to have the attitude, I'm not doing the church a favor to be a part of it. I'm just blessed to be a part of the church. And I'm convinced today that many of God's people have no idea what it is to be a part of a good Bible-believing, fundamental, independent, mission-hearted, local New Testament church. You are blessed of God to give it your time and your talent and your treasure. And God, help me never take the church for granted. If all I could be is a doorkeeper in the house of God, where Jesus is preeminent, where it's his program, where he purchased with his own blood, I thank God for it. And God, help me to understand that. The church changed my life. Church made me a better man, made me a better father, made me a better husband. The church is a place where I got two sons preaching and a daughter serving the Lord and a son-in-law serving the Lord and daughter-in-laws serving the Lord and grandchildren serving the Lord. It's a place where I can plug into every single week, get challenged. It's a place where God reached down not only to save my soul, but to call me into the ministry. And God helped me to have a proper vision of what the church means to you, that I would give it my very best. The church is God's program for evangelizing the world. And it's so sad today that some people think they're doing the church a favor rather than understanding God did me a favor to put me in a good Bible-believing church. Go over a couple of more chapters to Acts chapter 16. I want you to see another one. I need a vision, a proper view of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, give me a vision of my service to the local church. Help me, if I'm saved God's way, to surrender to God's word, to seek God's will. And God, for heaven's sake, help me to serve in God's work. Give it my time. Give it my talent. Give it my treasure. Why? That's the organism that God has chosen to reach the world. Here's a third vision or proper view that every Christian, every church member ought to have. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision for my service to the local church. And then thirdly, I need a vision for souls and their lost condition in this world. Now keep in mind, a proper vision, a vision is a proper view or proper revelation of what the Word of God is saying. You know, we are so comfortable in good Bible-believing churches because we hear the Word all the time, can quote it, memorize it, and yet in fundamental Bible-believing churches, where the only place I preach around the world, we have Christian people that are so comfortable because they hear the Word all the time. And it's not that we need more of the Word of God preached. We need to do something with what we hear. And here Paul had another vision in Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I need a vision for service to my local New Testament church. But I need a vision of souls and their lost conditions in this world. Paul, the great church planter, understood that the lost, which many times we as Bible-believing Baptists can't seem to hear, the lost outside of these doors, the lost across the street, the lost around this country, the lost in Thailand, the lost in places we don't ever consider going. The lost are calling, come over. Come over. Church members, come over. Saved people, come over. Bible believers, and help us and have a proper vision that the Lord of the harvest has called us to go, and have that vision so clear that I really will understand that the mission of the church is mission, that it is a mandate, that I do have the responsibility of taking the gospel around the world as a mission. God, give me a proper view of it that is so clear in my life that I'll give it my time, I'll give it my talent, I'll give it my treasure. Because I read a Bible that tells me it's real and it applies to me. Without that vision, I'll perish. I can become ungovernable, without restraint, uncaring. Can you imagine what churches would be like if all of our people got a proper view that people really are lost and die and go to hell? Can you imagine what it would be if we really got a vision, a proper view that it does matter what we do? How we give, how we pray, how we sacrifice. Because there's a world that doesn't have what we hear all the time. All the time. Good Bible preaching, good Bible teaching. But we're perishing. We're becoming ungovernable, without restraint, uncaring for the rest of the world. You go some places in the world, they'd give anything for a piece of the Bible. We got Bibles stacked up that are not even open, not even read. May God help us to have a vision. Then one last one, Acts chapter 10, and then we're done. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to missions. I need a vision of my service to the local church. I need a vision of lost souls, their condition in this world. But Peter had a vision. In Acts chapter 10 is the story about Cornelius. I want us to pick it up in verse number 9 and notice the vision Peter had. On the morrow, Acts chapter number 10, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray in about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down at the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and the fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And, of course, we're familiar with the story. Cornelius, this man, had a vision. They sent him to Peter's house. Peter was a Jew. And Peter had this idea that the salvation of God was for the Jews only. And God gave him a vision. And in this vision, God wanted him to have a proper view of some things. And as he saw this vision, he saw all of these kind of animals come down in this sheet. And Peter said, Lord said, rise, Peter, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. And this happened three times. God was trying to give him a proper view of something. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision of my service to the local church. I need a vision of lost souls and their condition in this world. But I believe the average fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist Christian needs today is to have a vision or a proper view of the Savior's love for all creatures. Peter had to learn that everybody is reachable. He died for the world. Everybody is responsible. Many will receive the gospel. And when Peter learned that, it changed his life. Years ago, I was preaching in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. And I was preaching there and in an inner city, and several of my men, one of my men who went there with me, we were preaching a street meeting. And I was preaching a message entitled, No Man Cared for My Soul, was the message I preached that night. The night before, I preached One More Night with the Frogs. I was preaching, of course, it's about the frogs there in the Old Testament. And as a little boy, that night about 70 people came forward to get saved, including my youth pastor who surrendered to preach. But I was preaching, and I went over to this kid and I asked him, I take it back. I was preaching The Rider on the Pale Horse. That's what it was that night. I was preaching The Rider on the Pale Horse, One More Night with the Frogs. And I went over to the little boy and said, would you like to spend one more night with these frogs? He said, no, sir, but he said, I'm concerned about that rider on the pale horse. And that night, my youth pastor surrendered the preach. But I was preaching, I was using this particular illustration, and there were people that I met that had this impression that only certain people could get saved, get into good Bible-believing churches, learn to be good Christians. They were using this particular passage, and I said to them, I think you have the idea that those kind of people are creeping things. The Lord wants everybody to save. He wants everybody to be in a good Bible-believing church. It is not right for any place in the world to have a Shadow Mountain Baptist church and places over here does not have one. I don't care what the makeup of the people. I don't care what the situation is. The Lord died for the world. And he wants us to have a proper view that when I see a slide presentation like Thailand, ought to be able to have a proper vision. Those people deserve to be in a church just like this one. When I look into the inner city of Los Angeles, those people deserve to be in a church just like this. When I look in Washington, D.C., as I did in 1978, they deserve to have a church like the Fairfax Baptist Temple. The Lord died for the world, and God give us a vision, a proper view, that many will respond, many ought to get saved, many ought to be received, and many ought to be in a good Bible-believing church. And as a Christian, give me a vision for that. Give me a proper view. And here's what the proper view ought to be. I'm responsible for getting the gospel to everyone. And as a saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, God help me never to come to the point where I think what I have, everybody else shouldn't have. And I'm talking about beyond salvation. That's why I'm a church planner. I believe every city, every country, every town ought to have a good Bible-believing church. And may God help us when it comes to missions. We've got to look beyond what we have become as Christians and understand that the Bible makes very clear, if I don't do something with all of this Bible that I have, if I don't do something with the years of having mission conferences where I have a proper vision, a proper view that what I've seen, what I've heard, God, I want you to move upon my heart. Help me to come to the point in my life. First of all, I want to know where I stand with you every day of my life. Not with the preacher, not with another brother, not with a sister. I want to know where I stand with God. I want to bring a heart into my local church that you can mend and change and used to go to Thailand, Los Angeles, some other place, help me to have enough of a vision where if I need the coals of forgiveness to be put on my lips to make me ready, I'm ready to move. And God helped me to have a vision of appreciation and thankfulness that I'm in a good Bible-believing church. And help me to have enough vision when I walk outside of these doors that people are lost and end up in a place called hell. And then God helped me to next time I look at somebody breathing to believe that person could get saved, that person could be baptized, that person could be in a good Bible-believing church. As a matter of fact, that person could be in our church and God may reach down and call them into his service. God, give us a vision, because if we don't have a vision, we, Bible-believing Christian people, can perish. We can become ungovernable, without restraint, callous, uncaring, like hundreds and thousands in good Bible-believing churches all over America are perishing because there's no proper view of what the Bible says about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I asked a couple questions. Paul had a vision on the Damascus Trail that led to his salvation. He got saved God's way, immediately surrendered to God's word. The rest of his life, he sought God's will and served in God's work. How many men, women, boys, and girls will say there was a time in my life where I heard the gospel preached and I got saved God's way? I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have no doubts about it. If you know that, would you slip your hands real high for just a moment? That's settled in my heart. You may put them down. I wonder if there might be some Christians here that say, preacher, I need a proper view of some things in my life. Maybe it's just a proper view of where you stand with the Lord. Can you honestly say today, I'm in a position where I'm so wow about God that I see myself as saying, whoa, I need some change in my life so that I could say, well, Lord, here am I, send me. Maybe today you need a vision of your service to the local church. I wonder how missions, how better missions could be in your church if you had a proper view of what that church could do with your time, your talent, and treasure. Maybe you need a vision of your lost people in this world that will motivate you to say, I'll go, I'll give. Maybe we need a vision today that will lead us to the point in our life that, you know, this God's so wonderful, he can save anyone, and everybody deserves to be in a good Bible-believing church, and I'm responsible to help get that done. I don't know where you are today, but I tell you one thing. Every day of my life, I find I want God to give me a proper view of where I stand for him. I want to be ready to go wherever God would have me to go. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we as good Bible-believing Christians and good Bible-believing churches, we hear about missions all the time. We hear about soul winning. We hear about the need all the time. What we really need is a proper view of that. What does it really mean? What does it mean to us personally? Maybe there's some here in this place today. They can't say, well, here am I, send me, because they've never said to God, woe is me. And maybe we need the coals of forgiveness on our lips that we could be in a position. And the way to get that is take a good look at God and see him high and lifted up. What's our attitude toward the local church, this living organism that's the pillar and ground of the truth? Have we heard the call outside of these doors? Do we look at people as hopeless rather than looking and what they could be if God were to change them. Give us a vision today. Give us a vision that will change our whole attitude when it comes toward missions. You speak to hearts. If there be that one here today that needs to get saved like Paul did on the Damascus Trail, give them a proper view of their lost condition that they might come to the Lord by faith and be saved. You bless now the invitation time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.